came back with his date on his arm. Fair warning from my godly friend. So we hatched up a plan to return to our rooms and bring this adventure to an end. So we locked her in a room not a moment too soon, with Davos in the rod. Sent Quinch on a mission. Would it be a bad decision? For the news he brought us really was odd. He told us all,
Ox this way, Ox this way.
He told us all,
Ox this way, Ox this way.
Quinch told us all,
Ox this way.
What's that, Quinch?
Ox this way.
Quinch told us all,
Ox this way.
Oh,
Ox this way.
Oh, give us a break. We decided to return the priest back to the talking troll. Perhaps not our most heroic move, but he had fulfilled his role. As Darathra called, something else did transpire. Giants in the north in Dice and Desire.
Support for this week's episode of Dice and Desire is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate men's hygiene bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code DESIRE20 at manscaped.com. If my maths is correct, that's about 8 million balls. The Performance Package contains the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer Briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies. First off, the Lawnmower 4.0. Now, I've always been a bit hesitant to run a razor over my balls, and at my age, I'm not overwhelmed by an abundance of scrotal elasticity, but the lawnmower was easy to use, and any fears of nicking were quickly put to rest. As a committed head shaver, I even gave it a run over my head. It's waterproof, so I used it in the shower, and anything that saves an additional job of cleaning up is a bonus in my book. My head's just about the only part of my body that doesn't sprout hair, so the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer, which is also featured in the Performance Package 4.0, is a bit of a lifesaver. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof, and it provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps reduce nicks, snags and tugs in those delicate nose holes. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will thank you. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. I'll be honest, I thought the bag was fantastic. It's a really nice piece of kit. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code DESIRE20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code DESIRE20. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Giants! Giants in the north! As the guard shouts this sentence, the Lord Protector, you can see Darathra's face just drop. And suddenly she realises that these orcs that have been attacking the south of the town may have been a distraction to draw some of the militia out and to leave the rest of the town open to attack. Within a few seconds, however, you can see her calculating, you can see her rushing, some thoughts going through her mind, and she's thinking about what the town still has to offer. And you sort of hear her mutter, the guards, yes, the guard, we'll have to send the guards. And then she sort of looks up and looks at you, and there's a sort of an idea crosses her face of... And she looks at you and she goes, listen, I know that I asked you to go and find safety and ensure, everyone in town was okay, but I think it's clear now that we're in quite a bit more trouble than we first thought, and it pains me to ask this, but do you think there's any chance that you could help? You've obviously proven yourself in town the last couple of days as being honourable men. Do you think that there's a chance that you'd be able to help us out in this battle?
Yes, my first question would be, would you like us to go north or south? The goblins or the giants?
Well, the 12, I've already sent the 12 to the orcs, so, and they're very, very capable, and we've had to fend off orc attacks in the past, and I have no reason to believe that they can't they can't handle themselves there. And I'm just thinking, given that that battle is already underway, that the giants would be a much more useful fight to take. I appreciate that this is a much more monumental thing to ask of you, but there's no point me sending you off to a battle that could already be won when we have one so pressing.
Completely understandable, Dorathe. You know, 5 minutes ago, the orcs were too dangerous for us to engage, but now that there's a much more dangerous foe in town, suddenly, yeah, the solution is the people who minutes ago you wanted us to go and hide indoors. Oh, absolutely. I've never been more excited to go into sudden death.
Dweezil, I understand your comments. I understand why this, you know, we don't have time to really discuss this, but I hope you realise that a few minutes ago we had a small battle that we wanted to contain. Now we're talking about something that could potentially bring the town into ruins, and unfortunately I don't have the ability to be picky and choosy. As you can appreciate, this is a hugely terrible thing to have giants coming and attacking a town. And just
do we know what kind of giant? Sorry.
She turns back to the guard that's rode up on horseback, and he says, "No, I only heard it from one of the other guards. Told me there were giants and told me to come and, you know, mobilize our forces towards this. He didn't say what type of giants. He just said giants, and any giants are dangerous giant as far as I'm concerned." And just at that moment, you hear the sound of some more. Actually, roll me perception. Anybody?
15 overall.
15. That's fine. Greg, you're quick enough to hear the sound of running footprints, running feet, running person, not the running man. Although it is a man. And you notice where this guard has headed, essentially from the north, directly north to you. You see another, a younger man this time, running. Not on horse this time, on his own horsepower, if you will. Running from the northeast, or sort of easty northeast. Young lad. And actually you notice, you recognise him as being somebody that was serving at the North Shield House for you. Only earlier today, and as he approaches, he says, "Oh," he sort of catches his breath, and he says, "Oh, protector. Oh, I'm glad that I found you here. We have danger in the town." And she goes, "Yes, I know. We have giants." And he stops, like his hurried breathing just instantly stops, and. Giants? No, we have demons. There are demons attacking the North Shield House and the properties in the east. We need to send somebody there. And you see again. You've already seen once today. Dorathra's face drop at the sign of giants, and then realizing that perhaps that there's a unified attack. We've got something in the south. We've got something in the east, and now something in the north. And she looks back at Dweezil and says, "Do you still think that we have the opportunity to spare people? Do you not feel that we should get people involved?" I'm out of breath just pretending to be the guy that's run there. I'm just sitting there. Give me a second. Dweezil, surely you see now that as much as I'd love to protect you and everyone in this town, we have very little choice at this point.
Group chat a second, chaps. Group chat. I would say that we all kind of huddle around into like a group little circle, and I say, "I can't help but think this should be quite an easy challenge for us all. I mean, we've defeated giants before, and it will put us in good standing with the town. Perhaps loosen a few purses, you know what I mean?"
"And we've leveled up since then."
did we ever defeat giants, or...
You weren't there.
You were probably hiding in a box or something. But well, yes, if you ask our good friend Sebastian, he'll tell you all about how we defeated the giants.
And as you're having this conversation, you sort of hear the young lad that's run over, sort of hurriedly talking to Dorathea, and she says, you just hear her going, "Oh my goodness, they're burning the houses." And Dorathea just says, "Gentlemen, I appreciate that this is no easy task to ask you, but I really must push you. Are you willing to help? And if so, please can you tell me that what?" Dweezil, I ask you, I ask all of you, where would you like to be helping us, if at all? I can maybe push all of my guards to one of these attacks, and perhaps you and some of the other residents can look after the other. But I really must, you know, we really must make a decision and move on this. Time is of the essence.
I think we should take the giants, chaps. Plus, we need some information on some giants, if I do believe so. So we may come to something there.
100%.
Yeah, giants gets my vote.
Giants is a
big shout. I'm gonna give you 30 seconds just to talk it out and decide.
Let's stay away from the demons. I don't want to go near demons.
Giants.
I'm in conclusion with that.
Yeah, we fought giants before, so we've at least got a little bit of experience with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Giants it is.
Okie dokie. Yep. So you relay your decision to Dorathea, and she says, "Thank you. We will discuss how this town can ever repay you if we can just fend off these threats." She turns back to the guards, and she says, "Go back to your colleagues. Get as many men as you possibly can, and take them to the North Shield House. Get them to help out. Get them to help with the fires. Get them to fend off whatever creatures, foul creatures, are there." She turns back to the young lad who's approached you and says, "Go back to your boss. Speak to Urgula. Tell her that we have urgent issues in the north with giants. She'll understand. If you see any of the other important NPCs." also tell them of the urgent need that we have in the north, and may the gods protect us all on this foul day. Right, with that decision made, you guys start making your way northwards.
Quint flies 20 feet into the air.
Are you still on horseback, if I remember correctly? Did any of you get off of horseback, or are you still on the horses?
No, we're mounted up.
Quint's just still on horseback.
Yeah.
Despite being able to fly. So you're all still mounted,
straddling.
Yeah?
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I believe so.
Can you apart from me,
I guess.
Sorry, what are we doing? No, are you all mounted or not?
I am definitely flying, so I guess I left Doss somewhere.
Right, okay. Can you all, apart from Quinch, then please roll me a perception check?
Perception.
Yep.
19 overall.
25, natural 20.
13. So 25 for Dweezil, 13 for Greg. Krill, what was yours?
19 overall.
19. And Dabov?
4. Yep.
Okay. All of a sudden, just as you're turning to head north, you don't get actually that far until suddenly you in particular, Dweezil and Krill, notice two quite large, quite substantial boulders flying through the air towards you as a group, or towards the town square. You manage to, in time, move your mounts out the way, but Greg and Dabov, unfortunately, you don't notice in time, and these boulders land not too far away from you, scaring your horses somewhat. Can you roll me both an animal handling check?
9.
I also got a 9.
9. Okay. Unfortunately, because you first did not notice the boulders and then were unable to calm your horses, you are both, unfortunately, thrown from your horses. You take no damage, However, you are both, for the purposes of our next section, prone.
Excellent.
Within a few seconds of these boulders landing, however, you see in the not-too-distant future... future.
Not too distant distance.
You see and you feel the presence of giants striding towards you. Until they are actually not too far away from you. And yeah, you see these two in the distance. You see these two red-haired, armoured, big, hulking giants striding towards you. And their boulders were enough to, you know, cause some disarray in the town. And they eventually make their way to a place you've been before, actually, where the rats were. Where you had this swarm of rats, so essentially the caravan park. They finally stopped, but just around them and ahead of them, you also see some other creatures. You see some orcs, some nasty creatures, and they're all riding these giant birds. These are quite nasty looking birds. Somebody roll me a nature check. Or all of you.
19.
Dweezil, you recognise these to be axe beaks. A creature often used by orcs and other creatures to ride into battle. Quite vicious looking and vicious acting creatures. But there's one orc in particular who looks somewhat different to the others.
Is it me?
No, you're a half orc. You're not a full orc. These are full orcs. These would make Rule Tazula be very happy. And he just has sorry, girl. And he has one eye patch over
these
his eye.
These guys wouldn't disappoint your dad. That's a weird sentence.
Five orcs you could bring home to your parents.
Yeah, weird sentence.
This guy looks a little bit more, I don't want to say ceremonial, but he just looks a little different to the others. He's dressed slightly differently, and he just has this eye patch. He's definitely set apart from the rest of the orcs. Right, we're going to do something slightly different at this point. I'm just going to send you all, I'm going to put them in your journals, some NPCs for you to become pixies, I guess. Ooh. I don't know if that's the right thing to say. Yes, so you are, for the purposes of this battle, you are going to be not only controlling Krill, Quinch, Greg, Dabov, and Dweezil, you're also going to have five of the tribal residents to look after. In however you see fit, we don't need to roleplay with them or anything like that. These are purely resources, or you know, whatever you want to do with them. Just do anything you wish to them and with them. Preferably nothing sexual. So I've had a little think about who deserves who, and who's interacted well with who and others in town. Krill, you'll be happy to know that you didn't get Gelrin Fauxhammer, because you guys didn't get on particularly well, so I didn't really want to force that upon you. So Sam, you have Narth. Is it Narth Tezrin? I think his surname is. Narth is the owner of the, or the joint owner of the Lion's Share. He's the very attractive.
Okay, I've got his
merchant.
Sheet here now.
Yeah, he's the very attractive owner, joint owner of the Lion's Share, and he's the guy who's married to the what was her name? The dwarf lady, Alestra Olga, whose son has gone missing. So you should be able to see some of his actions and stuff there.
Oh, the guy will be interrogated.
Yeah, the guy who you just didn't believe was in love with a woman who was, in your opinion, I guess, less attractive than him. very progressive. Stuart, you, however, do have Gelrin Fauxhammer. He hasn't had much of an impression on the group apart from Krill. He makes armoires. He's the royal armor. I can't say words, mate. Yeah, so you've got him. Hopefully you've got his sheet.
Listen, Dweez, if he dies, it's not that bad, is it?
could be worse, I suppose. I could have a shopkeeper.
MJ, you get Dars Helga. He's actually the owner of the caravan park, and you actually just about noticed the fact that he's still stuck somewhat, unfortunately, in the caravan park when the giants approach.
Doesn't look like the kind of guy to run away, but, you know, people change.
Well, you know, business owner and entrepreneur, I can see why Nate chose me to...
So. Yeah. Word has it, Dars has a prolific TikTok account.
You do scream caravan park, so...
Oof, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I think we might cut that one out. He's the ex-thief, if you recall. Mike, you have Urgula, surname escapes me. Urgula Meltimer, yep, who is the owner of the North Shield house that you've been staying at. She doesn't bring her mastiffs, though. She is on her own.
That's fine. The mastiffs, she's hyped weirdly, up on nuggies.
Correct. The mastiffs, weirdly, have cowered, and they've become really weak and pathetic overnight, almost. And finally, Luke, that leaves you with Dorathra Shendril, the Lord Protector herself.
Nice. Did I impress her with backflips?
That is exactly why I gave you Dorathra. I thought that there's a budding, not romantic, but a budding relationship there.
An Alki who?
He moves on to it. Not letting that go. Every time. No, correct. If you look at the map, actually, your NPCs are basically dotted all around based on where they would likely for approach. So Urgula is up in the north, the northeast, not Newcastle, up in the northeast. Basically, that's where the North Shield house would be. You've got Gelrin Fohammer, who would have approached from the north. Then you've got Dars, who I say is in the caravan park. You've got Dorathra, who you've been talking to by the town square. And finally, Narth, who would be approaching from sort of the south, southwest. Yeah, cool. Excellent. Right.
Do we have to do voices for her, or do we just...
No, there's no need to... I mean, you can if you wish to. There's no need for you to... I mean, I don't think I gave them any particular voices anyway when I was role-playing any of them for this very reason. If you wish to role-play as them, feel free. If you wish to run away with them, feel free. If you wish for them to attack, feel free. Just do whatever they are purely.
Run away with them, so we just leave.
Yeah, if you want to run away with them, then
see, my thoughts here was let's all roleplay them so we can give them horrible accents. So when it goes back to Nate controlling them, he's then got to pick those accents up.
If you can't be bothered to carry on continuity, then why on earth should I?
Since I gave Dorathra a nuggy, does she get any sort of bonus because she's presumably quite well fed?
Yes, she gets proficiency with attack on chickens. So,
you bastard! I picked up my pen to actually write one down. Then, git.
Right, and he gave you one, so I'm not seeing a problem.
So, yeah, if there are any chickens in this battle, which you know. Could happen.
Actually, three of them are giant birds.
Anything can happen.
Exactly. Right. With that, I don't know about you lads.
Wow, here we go.
But oh, I reckon it's time to roll some initiative.
Can we acknowledge that this is the first time we've rolled initiative together in about 2 months? And that is a special moment. Fun.
Actually, it's probably been longer than that, because I don't think we've had combat the last couple of...
Yeah.
Right, so we have one hell of a battle order there. Narth is up first. I'm going to do some battle music. If you could edit that out, Luke, that'd be great. Thank you.
Yep, will do. I won't.
Makes a note to put it on like a loop track for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Forever. Every episode. Gelrin is a monster.
Well... He's a dwarf. I don't think that's fair to call him a monster.
Okay, Narth is a bit of a wannabe hero. So he's going to like charge on in. He's going to be like, listen, guys, I mean, I've only got 30 foot of movement speed, but which is really bad how far away you've placed him. Like, it's going to take him 3 turns to get anywhere near this fight.
I'll be honest, you're potentially going into a fight with some creatures that could probably kill him in one blow. I don't think you should be complaining about him not being in the fight. I mean, on the flip side, I think MJ could have legitimate concerns about the fact that his character is 10 foot away from
mate, it's fine. I rolled a 6 for initiative. He's sorted.
Let's hope you get there. He's the penultimate peace. Person.
We are going to do a hand crossbow aiming at this big chicken.
Axe beak nuggies.
So it is a 17 to hit.
That does indeed hit. Roll me some damage.
Oh, is it? Wait, is it disadvantage? I have to roll again.
Yes.
Oh, 16 is the second one.
Still hits. Still hits.
Okay, cool. This is not the best, but let's see. 3 damage overall. Piercing damage.
It's a start, isn't it? It's a start.
Exactly.
Yeah. We've made them aware of our presence, at least. They're looking in our direction. This chicken's pretty mad.
Every tiramisu, you usually have a prawn cocktail beforehand or something. I don't know. What was the damage, sorry? 3, 6?
3. Just 3.
3.
From the Book of Zephyros.
Zephyros, exactly. Yes, you know, there's this thing, as they say, there's a tiramisu. Right, that is Narf over. That is done. So, Daboth, you're up next. I like how do you like how I lined you up in equidistant places?
Yeah, I like how you also put Vin Weasel really far away.
That's a good point. I forgot about. Is he actually in it? No.
Huh?
Did I put Vin?
Yeah, he's there. He's there.
Yeah, he's top there. Right, Dabov's bottom left. But what Dabov's going to do, because you've put him so far, Dabov's going to run to Vin Weasel, and Vin Weasel's going to use his turn to scurry up onto his shoulder.
I was going to say, that was just, yeah. Vin's on your shoulder. I did that wrong.
That's fine.
I'm happy to interchange you so that you're where Vin was.
Oh, well, I was going to use my movement to get here anyway, so it's fine by me.
Okay.
And I'm going to cast Grease on the chicken that's next to Dars. Has a 60-foot range and he's 40 foot away.
Okie dokie, and that's a dexy roll, is it?
Let me double check. It's a 10-foot square, so it covers that bird only.
Can Quinch speak out of turn?
I think Quinch has proven he can speak out of turn a lot of times.
If it takes less than 6 seconds, I imagine.
You can, yeah.
What's our plan of attack?
Shooty greasy, isn't it? Yeah, sorry, Luke, what am I rolling dex?
Yes, there's no... as far as I can tell, there's nothing I need to roll to make it hit that area. Need to make a dex saving throw of 14.
He rolls a 5, so he is down. Grease down.
Nice.
Presumably the thing on the back of the bird falls as well.
Yeah, so he's going to make... he's actually also going to make a dex save to see if he can avoid being sort of knocked prone, if he can sort of jump off as he notices this. That's a 10 with... I don't think that's going to help him particularly. 11. No, that's not going to be enough for him, I don't think, to survive. So, not to survive, he'll be down. But So... With that grease being sprayed all over the axe beak's feet and around it, it's just not ready. It doesn't notice it, and it just with a slight movement of his foot go down. Orc also goes down and is knocked prone. So he is just laying there like a little snoozy boy.
Cool. I'm gonna move the.
Hold on. Just before we go any further, I need to retcon something. You were proned at the start from falling off your horse.
But okay, what we say, I did give him the opportunity to start where he was, so he would have used half his movement to stand up. So I'll give you the opportunity to start where Vin Weasel was, because that was just me not noticing where I put the tokens.
Okie dokie.
Okay. So you'll be there. So you took half your motion to stand up. Cool. And then so you could still move whatever it is. 10, 15 foot,
I think.
Yeah.
Where is my movement? 35, so I'll just move 15. I'm just gonna take 2 steps back, so 10 foot back, which is less than half.
Okie dokie. And that's your turnover, presumably.
Yes.
Vin not doing anything?
No, he kind of just hunkered down on my shoulder. I've moved his token into that building just to get him out of the way because yeah. I can't be bothered to move to.
Yeah, that's fair. That's one of the worst things about having mounted combatants in here. Like, I've got to move them both at the same time.
Yeah.
Krill, you are up next.
Okay. So Krill is going to pop, I guess, over this way. Because how tall is that fence? It's not very high.
Oh, it's like
could you describe the fence in detail, please?
In detail? This pen is not necessarily designed to keep horses in or anything like that, per se. It's more for carts and stuff like that. So,
okay.
It's sort of about 5 foot, 5 6 foot tall. So you could certainly climb over it at half speed. But
you've let me do it in the past. I'm just checking if that's still okay.
What, you're gonna run through it?
No. Can I do a double javelin attack? So I've got like my double attack thing. It's just a thing I've got now. Can I just
right.
javelin?
Yeah, because that'd be one attack with the javelin, the second attack with another javelin.
Okay, as long as you're not making me prep the javelin as sort of like an action or anything.
You probably wouldn't have any weapons in hand just
so
yet.
What I'm saying is, as I'm running, I'm sort of getting the javelins ready to sort of launch over my back. So it would only be something I could do, I'd say, at the start of a turn. Otherwise, it would have to be sort of justified as an action, as a start of like combat.
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think... Yeah, so all my reckless attacks and stuff, they seem to only affect melee. So it's not going to make any difference. I will rage, however.
Rage.
Let's do that then. So, 2 attacks, both within 30 feet, so I'm not at disadvantage. Let's do it. First one is a 21 to hit.
What are you attacking, sorry?
Oh, sorry, this chicken to the right.
Chicken to the right. Hang on a second. What did Narth attack the first one with?
A hand crossbow.
I probably should have given that some cover actually with the fence there. It's not a solid fence, but it probably would have.
That's fine. I mean, I hit a 21, so I mean.
Okay, so that hits, yeah.
Even with a +2 to its AC.
Yep.
Okay, cool. And then
what AC do you think it has that it wouldn't hit with a 21? Jesus Christ.
Listen, I'm out of practice. Not playing for a while. then it's 1d6 plus 4 plus 2 for the rage. Does the +2 apply to all attacks or is it just melee?
Just melee.
No, you're getting melee damage with strength weapons.
Just Yuli.
So then it's just 1d6 plus the 4.
Can we melee, please stop pronouncing melee as melee as well?
I said it and then I was like, that's not right.
Wait, what's the word?
Melee.
Melee. But it's all E's.
It's also French, isn't it?
Where are you getting this A from?
France.
All right.
Blame the French, same as everything.
Gonna have to take it up with the French. So melee, it was a 4 plus a 4 on the first one, which is an 8.
Well, the French, as they call themselves, sorry.
Yeah. French. The French.
That was on the axe beak, yeah? That wasn't on the orc, wasn't it?
Yes, the axe beak.
Yeah. Okay.
And then, I mean, would the attack be any different to the orc? Would I still get the cover?
I would say...
He's a bit higher up, isn't he?
Yeah, with the orc higher up, I'd say he's not got cover, no.
Okay, so the second one's going to go for aiming at the other one. Oh, a 19, so 26 to hit.
Yes, that hits, obviously.
Okay.
Obviously.
And then a 10 damage overall on that mounted orc.
And that's on the orc. So you sling two javelins, quick succession. One takes the axe beak in the side, and the other orc sort of parries it, but still it manages to sort of like slice at his arm, and it gets quite a big old gash.
Wouldn't knock him off or anything.
No. We're not gonna do that. Don't be silly. So that's your turn, is it?
Yeah.
And you've raged, yeah. Okay. So yeah. Next up is Dwazal.
Friend or foe, it matters not. Let all you see around to be at odds against your cause. Enemies abound. I'm going to cast Enemies Abound on this massive, a 9-square giant. the one that's closest to me. The southernmost of the two giants.
The southernmost.
So do you want me to read Enemies Abound to you, Nathan?
I would, and what I need to do, if anything.
So I reach into the mind of one creature I can see, 120 feet. I've measured it, it's fine. First of all, it has to make an intelligence saving throw. It automatically succeeds if it's immune to being frightened. Is it immune to being frightened?
We'll find out once we go through the roll, won't we?
On a failed save, the target loses the ability to distinguish friend from foe, regarding all creatures it can see as enemies until the spell ends. Each time it takes damage, it can repeat the saving throw. Whenever it then chooses a target, it must choose at random from the creatures it can see within range to use the ability it's using. So I'm assuming that this is going to be a melee giant, in which case it's going to be choosing to attack the things that are closest to it. Okay. So I'll have a DC 15 intelligence save, please.
And giants actually have a plus 16 in.
Yeah, I've heard. Oh, very clever, aren't they? Very clever creatures.
Ooh, what was it?
15.
And it gets it with a 15.
Yeah. Oh,
on the money.
You got inspiration, Dweez.
Doesn't affect. I can't use inspiration to
affect their rolls.
To affect.
Oh, it's
it.
Their roll.
I could have.
Need probability control.
I could have unsettling words'd it first. Oh, wow. That would have been a. That would okay, that is a bonus action as well. Oh, I should have done that first.
We live, right. We learn, unless you die.
No,
right.
Next turn, no.
Anything else you can do?
Well, yeah,
any bonuses or moves?
Yeah, I'm good. I'll use
Can you use unsettling words?
What do you mean? Can I use unsettling words? It's not a spell.
Is it a spell?
It's just a thing that.
That's what I'm asking.
It's like bardic inspiration, but bad.
Just a thing I do.
I'll cast it on Quinch. No. who's likely to... Yeah, do you know what? I will. I'll use unsettling words on the southernmost giant. So I expend one use of my bardic inspiration and its next saving throw, it is going to subtract a... Let's have a go. 5 from its next saving throw. Stupid giant bastard.
And I don't have to roll for that first? That's just... It just
no,
takes
it's automatic.
That,
right? Yeah, I just... yeah.
That's a shame.
I trust you. Trust you.
I'm glad you do. And I will not move forward.
Okay. So I'm just going to put something on there that reminds me I've got to do something on there. Heartbreak. So that's Dweezil. So next up we have the orcs.
Thank you for listening to Dice and Desire. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review in your favourite podcast app. In between episodes, you can interact with us on Twitter and Instagram at Dice and Desire.
Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons and Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon on nerdsmith.org or wherever you get podcasts.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do. Thank you.